The outbreak of bird flu in Asia is raising fears that the virus might transform itself into a deadly germ like the one that killed tens of millions of people in 1918. That lends new urgency to research on just what made the 1918 virus so lethal. This week, researchers have some important news on that. They've collected tiny fragments of the 86-year-old virus. As NPR's Richard Knox reports, some of those precious clues came from northern Alaska.
Teller Mission is a tiny Alaskan village just across the Bering Strait from Siberia. Only 8 of its 72 inhabitants survived the great flu pandemic of 1918. Johan Holten went to Teller Mission when he was a graduate student back in 1951. He wanted to see if he could find the 1918 virus in the lungs of Eskimos buried in the permafrost.
I hoped that I would be able to isolate the living virus, and I couldn't. The virus was dead. And in retrospect, of course, maybe that was a good thing.
Holten shudders at what might have happened if he'd accidentally unleashed the 1918 virus on the world again. About 5 years ago, Holten, who's now 80, read that researchers were beginning to reconstruct parts of the 1918 virus using fragments taken from soldiers' autopsy specimens. Holten went back to the Teller Mission graveyard, on his own money, and brought back more lung tissue containing pieces of the pandemic virus. Now, using these fragments and others, scientists are at least three-quarters of the way toward piecing together the virus's 8 genes. Dr. Jeffrey Taubenberger of the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology is a leader of the project. He says scientists hope the genes will tell them how animal flu viruses become human diseases and why they sometimes turn so deadly.
With luck, in this year, 2004, we will have finished the first part of the project, which is to generate the full genomic sequence of the virus.
Meanwhile, the project's second part, unraveling the riddle of the 1918 virus, is well underway. Today, the journal Science carries two papers with a surprising clue. It turns out a key protein on the surface of the 1918 virus differs only very slightly from bird flu viruses. Again, Jeffrey Taubenberger.
The actual structural difference between them is quite subtle. It seems to me remarkable that it could be that such a subtle change is really the key that could allow an avian-adapted virus to adapt itself to the human environment.
Dr. Lynn Lambert is a top flu researcher at the National Institutes of Health. She says the new findings yield an important insight.
It gives us a clue that avian influenza viruses, should they infect people directly, have a high likelihood of being highly pathogenic or very lethal.
That's what's happening right now in Asia, where a bird flu virus has jumped into 19 people in Vietnam and Thailand, killing 13 of them. Scientists wonder if the new findings suggest the 1918 pandemic started in much the same way.
I certainly don't think it diminishes our anxiety about what's going on in Asia.
Taubenberger and his colleagues reported other new findings on the 1918 virus in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences this week. In those experiments, they put several of the virus's genes into a mouse flu virus. Sure enough, that made it very deadly. Fortunately, when they inactivated the hybrid viruses and used them as a vaccine, it protected the mice against infection.
So that if an influenza pandemic strain were to emerge suddenly with a new subtype, it's quite possible that if you had a vaccine already prepared to a strain of that subtype sitting on a shelf, that you could ramp up and actually have vaccine already to go that, you know, would certainly help a lot.
More experiments are planned using genes from the 1918 virus, but Taubenberger says researchers may ultimately want to construct a complete replica of the virus.
It's certainly something that we would consider doing, but that we would not do just because all the gene segments of the 1918 virus were available. That is, we would do it if we needed to get at the issue of virulence and that we had failed to understand virulence using other models containing fewer number of 1918 genes.
Scientists say they wouldn't make a clone of the 1918 virus without a lot of debate on whether the risk would be worth the gain and how they'd guarantee the resurrected virus would never, ever escape from the lab. Richard Knox, NPR News.